Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
A series of key meetings are set to take place over the coming days to determine whether restrictions can be eased amid optimism that the Omicron wave has peaked. There are indications that bars, restaurants and cultural venues could be handed a new closing time of midnight from the end of this month, or indeed in early February, while attendance at indoor and outdoor events is expected to be increased and a gradual return to the workplace is also anticipated. Pat Leahy, political editor with the Irish Times, is on the line now. And in a moment, Pat, we'll also ask you to update us on the latest on the Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney and the ongoing controversy in relation to the so-called Champagne Party. But first, this meeting tomorrow, the cabinet meeting ahead of NPHET's meeting on Thursday. And the virus, we know, has vanquished reopening plans in the past, but there is a positivity in the air. It feels a bit different this time, doesn't it?
Well, it does. Now, you know, you won't be surprised to hear a word of caution about predictions as to what direction the virus is going to go in, because if there's one thing that COVID has taught us thus far, it's that it's capable of making idiots of fellas like us who try to figure out what's going to happen over the coming weeks. So all I can do, Claire, is report what the feeling is at the decision-making level in government right now. And that is one of growing optimism that we may be able to look at lifting restrictions as early as next week. Unlikely that that will all come in one big bang, I would have thought. But certainly next week, the week after, possibly the week after that, you're looking at a staged lifting of restrictions, which would see most of them gone by the time we get into early February.
And these calls for the restrictions to be lifted, they began, as they do, on the back benches, but now it is the leadership, it's senior ministers who are saying, some publicly, some not publicly, that they would like to see the restrictions lifted, and they want to see them lifted sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so there was a meeting of the three coalition party leaders last night. I'm told the mood at that was pretty optimistic. Obviously, they're in informal contact on an ongoing basis with both the HSE and the Department of Health, so they're getting the updates on the epidemiological situation and the situation in hospitals. Now, the choreography of what happens over the coming days is that there is to be, there's a cabinet meeting tomorrow at which I guess ministers are likely to discuss the issue. Then there's a NPHET meeting on Thursday, and we expect that there will be a NPHET, a letter from Dr. Tony Hoolan, the Chief Medical Officer, to the Minister for Health on Thursday night. That, depending on its contents, that may prompt another meeting of party leaders or of cabinet committee on Friday, and possibly a hastily arranged cabinet meeting which could make decisions on the lifting of restrictions from the following week. Now, that depends on what the contents of that NPHET letter is, but that's certainly, I think, you know, the sort of process that is being discussed in government buildings at the moment.
Have you heard that NPHET is on the same page as government as it stands?
I haven't, but there is an optimism in government that it is. And I think the sort of difficulties that we have seen repeatedly, more, I suppose, when we were looking at introducing restrictions rather than lifting them, where government was often surprised by what came out of NPHET and what was contained in Tony Houlihan's letter. I think there's been, you know, a fair bit of work done within government to ensure that that doesn't happen again, and there is closer coordination and communication between NPHET and government buildings in terms of how they manage this process. So, look, you know, I suppose we wait and see what's in the Houlihan letter on Thursday night. But that is certainly the direction that people pretty strongly tell me that things are going.
Dr. Mary Favier on Morning Ireland this morning was talking about people, and she seemed to be in favour of opening up, by the way, as well. But she was talking about people who are very fearful of COVID and will need to relearn how to live in the way that we did pre-2020. So I'm sure the government, when they come out and announce, if they do, that restrictions are to be lifted, there'll have to be some sort of reassurance there that there is a fallback option should a new variant arise or things change radically in the short to medium term.
Yeah, well, look, we mentioned earlier how COVID can confound all sorts of expectations. In a way, it's doing that again, because I don't think, you know, two and a half weeks ago, when, you know, people were looking at this Omicron wave and there was a widespread fear within and without the system that hospitals were going to be overwhelmed. You know, nobody thought that within such a short space of time, we'd be talking about the prospect of all restrictions being lifted. So in a way, you know, just as COVID has surprised us by moving very quickly, you know, when things were getting worse, it has surprised us in this way again. And there is always the potential for, you know, what people in and around government are calling, you know, a killer variant to emerge. And if that does, you know, then I suppose it has to be dealt with. But you know, that's always a possibility that you know, maybe on the horizon. But I don't think that the current, you know, the expected wave of reopenings is going to be done with that possibility in mind.
Now, as I mentioned there at the start, you're also writing about Simon Coveney, and you describe him as accident prone. This is about the so-called champagne party and his response to it in recent days. But you reckon he's going to weather the storm?
Well, yeah, I think what I was reporting is that there is a growing feeling in government that, you know, this is a sign of how accident prone that Simon Coveney has become, because it's only a couple of months, I suppose, since the long drawn out saga over the appointment of Catherine Zappone, which many people feel was kind of deeply damaging, not just to Coveney himself, but to the government as a whole. Now, you know, it would be a brave prediction in the current sort of febrile political environment to say, like, you know, nothing to see here. This will all go away very quickly. But I think that, you know, on the facts as we know them at the moment, the events that took place in the Department of Foreign Affairs isn't really on a par with what we're seeing in, you know, coming out of Downing Street. Highly entertaining and all, though it may be for those of us to look on, I suppose, is viewed with the utmost seriousness within, you know, within, you know, British politics, and could well lead to the defenestration of Boris Johnson from number 10. I think what we're dealing with here is something of a different order. And I would be surprised, while there may be some awkwardness both for Coveney and the government in the days and weeks to come on it, particularly if, as is likely, he has to go in and answer questions about it in the Oireachtas Foreign Affairs Committee. It seems to me to be more of a venial sin than a mortal sin, so what took place.
It's not so much, I would argue, the event itself. It's the response to it that has been cack-handed. I mean, to go on with Brian Dobson last week, knowing that you'd asked for an investigation to be carried out or a report to be given to you by the department, and not to say that. And then for Leo Varadkar, who we're now told knew that investigation was happening, to go on the radio on Sunday and again not to say it. It just doesn't seem to make much sense.
Oh, the whole thing has, you know, been a bit of a circus from start to finish. There's no doubt about that. Even from, you know, the posting of the photo on Twitter by the then top civil servant in the department. The whole thing has been completely self-inflicted. But ultimately, I suppose we judge these things not just, you know, on you know, how they are handled and how the politics of it works, but on the merits of the case and on the seriousness of the offence. And I think when you look at it that way, I think it's unlikely that this ends up with resignations or departures or sackings or anything like that. But as I say, I wouldn't make those predictions with any great degree of confidence, given, you know, the sort of political environment that we're currently in.
And what happens now? Because the Oireachtas Foreign Affairs Committee, they'll decide this afternoon, will they, whether the Minister Coveney needs to appear before them. And it's looking likely that they will go for that option.
Yeah, they're meeting at, I think, 12 noon today, Claire, and members of the committee have already indicated that they're going to seek. That's a private meeting for the committee to order its own business for the coming term. Dáil is back tomorrow after the Christmas recess, of course. So, given that a large number of committee members have said that they want to ask the minister to attend to answer questions about it, and given that he has already said himself that he has no problem attending and answering questions about it, then, you know, I think that that is very likely to happen. Whether it happens before the conclusion of a report within the department done by the current Secretary General, Joe Hackett, or whether they seek to get Mr. Coveney in before that report is concluded, I suppose we'll have to wait and see until today. It seems to me unlikely that he would be scheduled to appear before that report is concluded. More likely, I feel that that report will be concluded and then Mr. Coveney and perhaps Mr. Hackett may be asked to go in and answer questions.
You seem to have found out a few more details about what happened that night in the department.
Well, what I'm told is, you know, I got some sort of a flavour of what is likely to be the case, that the civil servants, or some of the civil servants that took part in it, are going to say to, or may have already said to Mr. Hackett as part of, you know, his inquiry or his investigation, whatever you want to call it. And so I think what was going on is that There was a vote, of course, on election to the UN Security Council. There was due to be, or officials expected that there would be a second round of voting after the first round. So an operations room had been set in, and that's the room that we saw in that famous photo that was tweeted out. An operations room had been set up within the Department of Foreign Affairs. And what was anticipated is, after the first round of voting, assuming Ireland was still in the running, that there would be then a whole series of, you know, calls to lobby for support for Ireland for the second round. But in the event Ireland was elected on the first round of voting, so there was no need for a second round. And that's, I think, the point at which the champagne, or more worryingly yet, Prosecco was sent out for, because all these people were in their work space and they had an unexpectedly early triumph on it. So I think that will form part of the I think that's likely form part of the account of events that is eventually presented by Joe Hackett. That doesn't mean, of course, just to add here, you know, that doesn't mean that the report was any less, or that the, you know, the events were any less unwise. But I suppose maybe it fills in the picture a little bit as to how it happened. Yeah,
and you say as well, no one organised a party, nobody danced the night away. That's what you've been told. And Simon Coveney then, he came into the room at some point, and did he give a speech?
Yeah, I'm told he addressed the civil servants there, thanked them for their work, and congratulated them on their success. And then he went upstairs to his office, where he had a call, I think, with the Norwegian foreign minister. So I suppose one of the things that people will be looking out for is, were the drinks still in session by the time Mr. Coveney came in, or had officials returned to work? Because although there wasn't this, you know, effort at lobbying for support in the second round of voting going on, there was, I'm told, a good deal of contact had to be made with missions around the world and with New York to sort of unwind the plans that had been made for the second round of lobbying. So what I'm told, and is likely to be and is likely to form part of the report, is that after the drinks took place, that several of the people there went back to work, hit the phones again to, I suppose, thank people for their support and to unwind the plans for a second wave of lobbying.
Pat, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much indeed. Pat Leahy, political editor with the Irish Times. Coming up next, we'll speak to GP Dr. Dara Hume about the number of people she's seeing in her practice who are coming to her because they have something called mood disorder. She'll explain to us what that is and why there's so much of it about. That's after this.